Towards the East, A Woman's Intimate Confessions, 6, by Anna Bridgewater, narrated by Lily Ward. I was awoken by the feeling of a hand on my stomach just below the navel. The palm rested on my soft, sleepy skin. The outstretched fingers covered my entire abdomen from the navel down to the curly hairs. My breathing was regular, and I was lying on my side, pretending to be asleep, while the fingers explored my body. The thumb drew soft circles around the navel. Then the little finger took over and gently snuck further downwards. The gesture was so light and slow that it was almost undetectable. But I knew it to be real as my entire body melted and opened itself up. I had to bite my bottom lip when the little finger became more insistent and crept further inside between my closed thighs. The touch lit a fire in my loins, and I rolled over onto my back. With my eyes still closed, I spread my legs to enable access to the entire hand. It was now the index finger that had slid between the smooth folds, and I sighed. I was pretending to be asleep, though a small whimpering sound escaped my mouth.
Rune's voice said. Is that good? Gently biting my earlobe.
Yes, I whispered. He pressed, hot and excited, against my leg while his hand continued to coax small whimpers out of me. Eyes closed, I placed a hand on his upper arm, dragging him down onto me. He slid inside me immediately, and I put a hand on his bum to push him up. It was a satisfaction that was both familiar and new every time. I rocked my hips, and when he reached the height of his excitement, I pushed him even deeper inside me, followed by a scream of delight. I opened my eyes and looked up at my husband for the first time that day.
"Morning, Rune," I said.
"Morning, love," he said.
His eyes were closed as he pulled out of me. He lay back on his back with one hand on his chest. His breathing was laborious, and I was afraid he was feeling unwell. It was not many months since he had had heart trouble. Every time he became pale or tired, my fears would sneak back. But then he jumped out of bed.
"I have to leave in a minute," he said.
He walked over to the wardrobe and pulled out some clean clothes for the day's work. His face shone with contentment as he waltzed around naked in the bedroom.
"What do you have planned for today?"
he asked, while he stood with his back to me by the wardrobe, choosing a tie. "I have yoga after work, and then..." But Rune had already disappeared into the bathroom. "Look at me," I mumbled to myself, but he didn't hear it. He had shot out of bed without casting as much as a single glance at my face. I felt like the world's most lonely woman and lay back down on my back, staring up into the ceiling. I had a few minutes before I had to wake the boys and get them up. I so desperately wanted to do the right thing. Every day I made an effort to be a decent and loyal wife. I struggled. But it was so difficult for me. Time after time I saw my intentions crumble before me. It became impossible for me to reserve my body and soul for Rune when I needed devotion. I did not trust his love, which meant I could not trust myself. And I could not stop looking at other men. I lie in bed, eyes closed, and felt a hot tear push its way forward. But then Rune showed up in the doorway, mouth full of toothpaste.
"Would you like to come to Japan?"
Of course I would like to come to Japan. Rune was attending some meetings with Japanese business partners, and the company would pay for my ticket. We were going to Tokyo and Kyoto, and my heart beat a little faster from the joys of anticipation. I was looking forward to women in kimonos, sushi, politeness, and mysterious people. We left in November. After 14 hours of traveling, we landed in Tokyo. A limousine outside the airport picked us up. The city outskirts resembled a European city, only more substantial and uglier, with beige and mousy-looking housing estates. It was not exotic or different at all. It was just interchangeable. But I smiled at Rune. He would only call me cynical if I told him that the city was boring. The city seemed endlessly big, but we eventually turned up a steep road and onto a parking lot in front of a hotel. Asia's Center of Japan was its name. It was an anonymous skyscraper with sliding doors of glass and smiley staff at the reception desk. We were handed a keycard and took the lift to the 11th floor. The room was as anonymous as the rest of the building, and with two large double beds in the room, there was barely enough space to open the suitcase. I threw myself on the bed and let the jet lag overwhelm me. It was dark outside when I woke up, the hotel was quiet, and the room was too high up for me to hear any street noise.